Great day. Amen? Amen. You think we need another overflow? Maybe if you're new, you maybe have noticed in the bulletin that that is in our plans here at Reinhardt. And we're excited about that. And we want to fill that up too. What an exciting morning. Not just because our building is full, but because Jesus is alive. I want to say, He is risen, and you answer me, He is risen indeed. Would you do that? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's do it one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. And I trust that you believe that. And as we believe that, that should be changing our life. What a difference the risen Lord can make in us. I want to read to you a piece that is in Kyle Eidelman's new book. I just recently purchased it, and I thought it was appropriate. He says, I coached my son's basketball team. These were sixth and seventh graders. The season ended with a tournament. If we won the first game, we would play in the championship round on the same day. We won that first game, but it took an overtime performance that exhausted the team. So there we were in the championship game, and you could tell our kids didn't have much gas left in their tanks, physically or emotionally. A couple of them had been sick during the week, running temperatures, but they weren't about to miss the big game. And one of our guys kept cramping up, his first experience with that. We told him to put in a little more effort and the cramps would go away. We got to the fourth quarter, and several kids were asking to sit out. But this was it. These were the final minutes of the season. A cool plastic trophy was on the line. A trophy that looked identical to the runner-up trophy. And the participation trophy, for that matter. But I still wanted it. This is the coach who's saying, I still wanted it. I wasn't the only minister coaching. One of the other guys was too, and he was more ministerial than me. Compassionate, gentle, gracious. He gathered the team around him during a timeout and said, hey, you guys, you've been doing great today. You've been fighting hard. I know you're tired. You've been giving it everything you've got. And so what were his next words? You've done so well. Take a seat on the bench. Chill and sip some water, guys. Nope, that's not what he said. He's not that ministerial. Instead, he launched into a classic pep talk that, if filmed, would have entered the annals of classic inspirational talks and had been enshrined forever as the suck it up speech. It began and ended with those three motivational words. He said something like this: you guys need to suck it up. Suck it up. You think nobody but you is tired? You've worked too hard to quit now. Get back out there right now and give it every ounce of what you've got. You can rest when the game is over, but it's not over. Stop complaining about being tired. Suck it up and let's win this thing. I was watching the eyes of the boys and saw tiny little flames igniting. Their will to win was heating up. They stormed back out on the court like sixth and seventh grade Huns sacking a village, and they won the championship. I read that and I thought, all those boys needed was just a little bit of encouragement. And I'm thinking, we need some encouragement too. Sometimes we feel like quitting. Sometimes we feel like we just can't go on. The bills are mounting up and we don't know how they're going to be paid. The test results are just overwhelming. The marriage just isn't working. The kids are not listening to me, we say. And the kids may say, my parents are not listening to me. The habit, I just keep going back to it. I can't break it. I can't climb out of my depression. I can't find a job that suits me. On and on the hardships go. And you think about a crowd this size in every row of chairs, I bet there's someone who's feeling these kinds of hardships in their life, if not more than just that one. All of us are going through hardships in life, and it's so tempting to give up, to just throw in the towel and quit. But that is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to endure. He wants us to suck it up, so to speak, and win this battle that we are in. And the good news is, we don't win the battle by our own strength. We win the battle by the strength that He provides for us. We give ourselves to Him, and His strength is more than enough. I want to give to you this morning three reasons that we need to hold on. Three reasons that we need to endure. And the first reason is simply this: Jesus did. Jesus endured. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Basically, what that passage of scripture is saying is simply this: Jesus endured. He endured more than what any of us can even imagine. He sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you read the garden accounts in the Gospels, you'll see the burden that he was carrying. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, he says to his disciples, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." Luke chapter 22, verse 44, says that he was in agony. If you read from the New International Version, it says that he was in anguish. It's a word that is closely connected with the games of the day. A gymnast, a wrestler who was in a struggle for victory. Jesus was literally in a wrestling match in that garden between his spirit and his flesh. In his spirit, he knew that he needed to do the Father's will. But in the flesh, he knew that it was going to be such a challenge. It was going to be unbearable, the pain. The separation from his Father would be unimaginable. The weight of sin would be incomprehensible, and so he was struggling. He was agonizing over that which lay ahead of him. The Greek word is agonia. He was in a struggle for victory. Matthew 26, verse 39 says, "Going a little farther, he prayed. He fell to the ground with his face, and he prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" Indeed, he was suffering more than what we can know. And that's all before the cross. That's before the physical treatment that he endured. The scripture says they beat him with their fist. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and then they took a reed and they beat the thorns into his brow. They spit on him. They ridiculed him. They beat him on the back with a whip called the cat of nine tails. It had nine strands of leather dangling from a wooden handle, and at the end of each strap of leather. There were pieces of glass and sharp objects of any kind, pieces of metal that they would put into a ball of leather at the end of that strap. And the psalmist says, the plowers plowed up on my back. They lengthened their furrows. We live in a farming community. We've seen what a plow does to the ground. The farmers don't so much anymore use plows, but you've seen it. A plow will run through the dirt and turn it over. It will dig deep, and it will turn that furrow over. And the scripture says that is what the whip did to the back of Jesus. They plowed furrows in his back. 39 lashes of the whip was the custom of the day. Isaiah the prophet said this of the Messiah, that his appearance would be marred more than any man, and that people would look at him and they would turn away. They couldn't bear to see what he looked like. The bruising, the swelling, the bleeding, the brutal beating. The wrath of God was being unleashed against his son because of the sins of the world. Then they took him and nailed him to a cross. And you do understand, all of this was the high price of sin that Jesus was paying. Your sin and my sin. He was without sin. He was flawless. And yet he chose to give himself for us. He said, I will take Kevin's place. I will stand in there for him. And he endured all of that for you. And for me, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I want you to know, folks, no one has ever loved you like Jesus loved you. My friend Josh Howard ministers in India. And he tells the story of a time that he went into this remote village, and this little girl ran up to him to greet him, and he reached down and he swooped her up into his arms to hug her. And as he did, the diaper-like rag that she had wrapped around her was wringing wet with urine. And as he picked her up, it just exploded all over him. And at this point, he was as wet as what she was. And his first reaction was to be repulsed and to put her down and go clean up. But he resisted that. Instead, he hugged her and he held her. And he loved on that little girl. And as he did, he sensed the Lord saying to him, Josh, this is exactly how I feel about you. I am repulsed by your sin, Josh. I hate your sin. But I love you more. And that is why I gave my only begotten son for you, Josh. Instead of turning away from you, I have embraced you and loved you, and I have cleaned you up by the blood of my son, Jesus. Thank God Jesus endured through all of that hostility so that we could have forgiveness and peace with God. And certainly the resurrection is a major part of that story. I think it was Tim said this morning on the stage already that if it was not for the resurrection, maybe it was Shannon that said this, if it was not for the resurrection of Jesus, if everything would have ended on Friday with Jesus' death, that would have been defeat. For the whole world, that would have been defeat for him. That would have been defeat for you and me. Satan would have won had Jesus been left in the tomb. Without the resurrection, that would have been victory for the devil. But in reality, the resurrection is the coronation of the king. No one had ever conquered the grave before. Oh, yeah, there had been people who had been raised to live again. Even Jesus had raised people to live again. But every one of those ones who had been raised before, they were destined to die again. Only Jesus has conquered the grave, never to enter therein again. And because he was victorious, we can be confident of our victory too. That's what the resurrection does for us. It promises us victory over sin. It promises us victory over the grave. It promises us victory over the devil. I was reminded this last week of a story that Max Lucado wrote in his early days in a book called On the Anvil. Max was a young boy, and several of his buddies were out of school for the summer, and they were looking for something to do to entertain themselves for the day. And you have to remember, this was before video games. This was before cell phones, because these boys actually got outside and played in the heat of the summer. These boys had the big idea of digging a tunnel. And so they focused on the empty lot next to Max's house. He said they actually dug a ditch 3 feet wide and 4 feet deep. Now, as I read that and think about that, that sounds like a whole lot more work than it does play. But that's what these boys did, and I'd hate to hear what his dad said after he got home from work that day and saw that yard destroyed. But these boys dug this ditch halfway across the yard, and then, to give it the appearance of a tunnel, they pulled every piece of plywood and timbers from their dad's garages and laid across the ditch, and lo and behold, they had a tunnel to crawl through. And they grabbed rags and coats and pieces of clothing and put it over the pieces of wood to try to make the tunnel dark. And once they were satisfied with that, now it was time to test the tunnel. Who was going to crawl through first? Would it be safe? Would it collapse? Was it deep enough? Max's brother drew the short straw. It was him who was to first enter into the tunnel. I want to read to you from Max's own words and let him tell the story from this point. He says, "It was a tense moment. The five of us stood solemnly in our t-shirts and jeans. We gave him last words of encouragement. We patted him on the back. We admired his self-sacrifice. We stood quietly as he decisively got down on hands and knees and scurried into the hole. We held our breath as we watched the soles of his high-top sneakers disappear into the darkness. No one spoke as we waited. The only movement was the pounding of our young hearts. Our eyes stayed fixed on the tunnel exit. And finally, after we had each died 1,000 deaths, my brother's sandy blonde hair emerged from the other end. I can remember his triumphant fist leading the way as he scrambled out, yelling, 'There's nothing to it, don't worry.' And who could argue with the testimony of seeing him alive and well, jumping up and down at the tunnel's exit? We all went in." Isn't that a perfect illustration of the fact that Jesus has entered into the tunnel of death first, and he has won? He has turned, he has come out alive on the other side, and it gives to us confidence that we will enter into death's tunnel too, victoriously. There's nothing to worry about. Jesus came out a winner, and we will come out a winner on the other side. He endured through so much, and it gives to us courage that we can endure too. Whatever it is that we are facing, we can endure because Jesus has already endured. Let me give to you another reason to hold on. Amidst all your struggles, whatever struggle it is that you're facing, you need to hold on because so many others before you have held on. That scripture from Hebrews 12 that I read earlier reminds us of that fact. We have a great cloud of witnesses in heaven. They have gone on ahead of us. I don't know for sure if they can see us down here and what's going on in our life, but if they can, I am quite sure that they would be cheering us on. There are pep squads, so to speak, and for me, I know who's leading the cheer. My mom's leading the cheer for me. For Cindy, her dad is leading the cheer for her, and they are rooting us on, praying for us to hold on. They did. They held on. And if they could speak to us, they would be saying, "It's worth it. It's worth it all. Our being faithful to Him and holding on to Him is worth it because we have a crown that is waiting for us that will never fade away." Maybe you've got a box like this. I've got a box in the attic. Inside that box are my trophies from the past, from way back. Little League baseball trophies, several of them. I remember when I received them, I was so proud of them. And they were on the mantle for a lot of years. Inside that box are some awards that I received in high school. I mean, good times, great memories. But now they're just stuck in a box in the attic. And dust, you know, if I ever get inside of that box and look inside to see what's there, oh yeah, that's my trophies. And I have to blow the dust off first. We need to make sure that we are chasing after the trophy that is eternal. You know what's going to happen with that box of trophies? If I don't throw it away, my kids for sure will one day throw it away. They are not interested in keeping those trophies. That's what happens to our trophies that we gain here in this life. We need to make sure that we are chasing after that trophy that is eternal, that crown that will not fade away. And if we'll listen closely, maybe we'll hear the cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Moses is saying, "It's worth the cost." Elijah and Elisha are hollering out, "Hold on, it's worth it all." Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego are telling us to endure through the fire. Job is saying, "It's worth everything." Mary Magdalene is saying, "You can change. You can give up your habits. You can do away with that addiction. I did away with mine. I gave my life to Jesus, and I'm so glad that I did. I've never regretted it." My dad is saying, Kevin, hold on. My mom is saying this, "It's more than what you can even imagine. It's better even than this piece of pie." My Aunt Winna, she's been here a time, I think, before. No, she was dead, wasn't she? She hasn't been here. But I know what she would be saying. She would be saying, Kevin, don't compromise the message. Keep preaching the message. My grandma, whom I call Meemaw, she hasn't been here either. She's been dead too. And she'd be saying this. She'd be quoting scripture. She would be saying, be faithful until death, and he will give you a crown of life. Hold on, brother and sister. Because so many who have gone on before us have held on, and we can hold on too. There is no problem so big. There is no addiction so great. There is no temptation so strong. There is no pathway that is too complicated. He is able to help us hold on if we'll look to him. All we have to do is reach our hands out to him and keep our eyes on him. You remember Peter? As he's walking on that water, he took his eyes off of Jesus. What happened then? He sunk, didn't he? As long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. And that's what we need to do as we go through the trials of life, whatever they are. You just fill in the blank, whatever trial it is that you're going through, and you may want to feel like giving up. You just remember, keep your eyes on Jesus, and you can walk on water. You can endure through that trial. Don't put your eyes on the hardship, but put your eyes on Jesus. Because he can help you get through. I want to give to you one final point as to why we need to hold on, and that is this. There are those who are coming after us, and they're watching us, and we need to show them the way. Let me give to you some folks that are watching me. Kenzie, my 4-year-old granddaughter. Stetson, soon to be 3. I like his hat too. And Judah, over 1 year old. They're watching me too. He's watching me. And Irene, 7 months old. She's going to be watching me. And number 5, still in the womb, a boy, he'll come out of that womb and he will be watching his papa. He will be wanting me to show him the way. I need to hold on. I need to endure because of those who are coming after me, and they are watching me, and I need to show them the way of Jesus. Let me ask you, who's coming after you? Who's watching you? Every one of us have someone who's watching us. We need to show them the way. They do watch us. They do want to imitate us. They learn from us. And if I teach them to play ball, that's wonderful. I mean, that's fun. We can enjoy days of playing ball together. But those days pass. And the most important thing of all is that I teach them and show them about Jesus, because that's eternal. May our kids and grandkids learn the importance of holding on and not giving up, because they have watched me not give up. So why should we hold on? Why should we endure? Because Jesus did. Jesus endured. And because those who were before us endured, and they're cheering us on. And because there are ones who are coming after us, and they need us to show them the way. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. And Lord Jesus, thank you, and I praise you that you endured the whole distance. And you gave yourself for us. And praise you, Jesus, that you raised from the dead. Would you help us to endure? Would you help us to hold on amidst all the trials that we face? In Jesus' name, amen. I'm wondering, is there anyone here today who's never surrendered to Jesus? You've never said, I want him as my Savior, and I'm willing to repent of my sins. I'm willing to submit in Christian baptism. Is there anyone here who hasn't done that? Today would be a good day for you to submit to Jesus. Can't think of any better day than Easter Sunday for you to submit to Jesus. And he says, if you will come to me, I will make you clean. I will wash you, and I will fill you up with my presence and my Holy Spirit. And I will give you the promise of eternal life. I can think of only one who doesn't want you to do that, and that is Satan. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my heart.
I do want to say to you, if you're one who needs to give your life